This was the single best podcast episode I have ever recorded. I interviewed the founder of Podmatch, Alex Sanfilippo, and these are the three main things you're going to learn from this episode. Number one, podcast guesting is not as good as you think it is. It's insanely saturated right now.
I think that the thing that could potentially cripple and destroy podcasting is podcast guesting.
Number two, the most important thing you need to get right in order to grow a podcast.
Game of Thrones does not have an outro in it saying, hey, by the way, if you enjoyed this episode of Game of Thrones, can you please tell a few of your friends about it? That would be ridiculous. And you want to know why? Because the show is so good that they don't have to tell you to share it. It is human nature to share things that are good. We like to share things that are good.
And number three, the truth about the podcasting industry in 2024 and why right now is the best time ever to start a podcast.
There's just under 3 million podcasts in total on Apple Podcasts, but right now there is just under 400,000 active. Just over 13% of podcasts are actually active right now as we're recording this.
We'll get into that and more on this episode of Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to automate and grow your podcast. My name is Justin J. Moore, and I help coaches and entrepreneurs launch podcasts that only take 1 hour a week to manage. Let's get right into it. All right. Alex, I am so pumped to have you on here, man. You're like a legend in the podcast space, founder of Podmatch, but you got a whole bunch of other stuff too. But that's probably where most people will know you from. Like that is a household name in the world of podcasting and podcast guesting. So welcome to Oh My Pod. How are you feeling this morning?
Man, I'm doing great. Really excited to be here. I've never heard of Podmatch being referred to as a household name in podcasting, but I'll take it, man. That's a win for me today. But Justin, feeling good. Excited to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Totally. Yeah. Thanks for coming, man. And, you know, I'm just like too in the world of podcasting to the point where it's a household name for me, at least in my household.
Right. That's good enough for me. That's still a good win. I'll take it.
Yeah, totally. And there's so many things that I want to get into, and I'm just always thinking about my audience and the types of people who listen to my podcast. And I try to act as like their voices and like what questions they would want to ask. But I also want to just start by looking at the podcast industry, maybe not the industry, but the concept of podcasting, because I heard you talk on another interview and you said something about podcasting that really shifted my belief about like what is a good amount of listeners or downloads or what kind of impact podcasting has. And I just wanted to bring that up because I'm sure that you'd be great just riffing on that. And I want everybody to hear that. So what is the relationship, public speaking, and like all that stuff? Just like totally dive into that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad this gave you a bit of a paradigm shift, if you will, to thinking on things, because it's so important that we get our mindset right about what something like podcasting is compared to also something like social media, something like being on a stage, right? All these things are extremely different. They're not comparable, right? Example, if a movie theater is full of people, right? A room, like one of the actual like screen rooms in a movie theater room, there's, I don't know, 100 people in there maybe, right? That's a win, but none of us are too impressed with that. But if I told you there was a stage that was the same size and everyone paid $10,000 to be there as 100 people, then you'd be like, whoa, what? See, they're not the same thing. When you just have a context of it's a room with 100 people, you're like, cool, great. And so they pay like $5 to be there, or they pay $10,000 to be there, right? And with podcasting, people want to relate to social media and to compare to those numbers. That's where everyone's mind goes, especially people that are going to be a guest. They're like, oh, I want to be on the really big shows. Because the mindset is it's as valuable or the same as a like or some sort of interaction through social media. And I'm not dogging social media. It has its place. It's its own thing, right? Just like a movie theater is its own thing. But the thing is, a podcast listener is so much more valuable than someone maybe laying down, quickly scrolling through stuff or showing their friend real quick, right? It's actually somebody giving you their undivided attention that wants to learn, grow, develop. So somebody, I always compare it this way, somebody who is listening to you on a podcast is the same as somebody sitting in a seat. Imagine you're on a stage and they're sitting there and they're giving you that time and they want to learn from you there intentionally. No one forced them to be there, right? It's an algorithm that threw it up. They decided they wanted to actually check that out. That's powerful. And because of that, we don't need to focus on numbers that are as big. I had somebody recently, and I'll end with this part, Justin, but I had somebody recently challenge me on this. He's like, man, I'm a huge speaker. He's like, and I don't have time unless there's 500,000 people or more listening every week. And I didn't mean to offend him. I just asked him like, oh, really? Well, when's the last time you were in a room with 500,000 people? And that was extremely offensive, apparently, because the answer was never, because no one has ever done that, right? Or very few people probably ever have. But my point is, we have to have a mindset shift about the value of a listener and who it is they're actually speaking to.
Okay, I agree 150%. But I want to ask sort of a follow-up question just to get a little more clarification for when I tell people this. Because everything that you're saying here is also me educating myself. That's one of the beauties of having a podcast. You get like free, like, you know, information from your guests. But so is it just because, like, is the difference between social media and podcasting, is it just the fact that it's like, you know, rather than a 1 minute clip, it's an hour that they're with you? Or is it that, are you saying that, or are you saying that podcast listeners are a specific kind of beast when it comes to becoming a fan of something? Or like, what is the thing that makes podcasting uniquely, like those numbers, 10 downloads compared to 10 social media likes? Like, what is that core difference?
Yeah, I'd say it's a bit of a recipe. So social media, a 1 minute clip definitely has power, but it doesn't develop know, like, and trust like listening to someone for 45 minutes. The other thing I just mentioned was the algorithm side of it. If you're scrolling through social media, you're getting fed things, right? It's just being kind of put in front of you. If you're listening to a podcast, it's because you intentionally decided you're going to do that. If I'm sitting in like a waiting room, let's put an example here. I might scroll through social media real quick. We all kind of do that these days, right? I'm not going to be like, what podcast can I queue up right now, right? It's a very intentional effort that we take. And data shows that people who listen to podcasts are people that are looking to learn, grow, develop themselves, or become a more creative being, right? And so there's all these different elements to why someone does that. So again, it's just a very different thing. And I think that recipe is what makes it so valuable, because you don't need as many people to say, I intentionally want to hear from Justin today. I need to grow in this way. So I'm going to intentionally seek out that information. That's just a powerful thing.
Yeah. And then when they search for that specific answer, if you come at them with the answer in a long form piece of content, then the connection is much stronger because you've helped them with the specific thing that they set out to do, I guess, is an add-on to that.
For sure. I mean, you get more personality. And in 1 minute video, I can't tell you much about Alex Sanfilippo. But if you give me 45 minutes and maybe a personal question comes up, or you hear me make a mistake when I talk, which is going to happen for sure, right? Like, those things people resonate with. They're like, oh, that feels very human. It's not so perfectly curated. Like, you can kind of just get to know somebody after that much time. Here's the thing, like in just a couple seconds, you can't really tell if you're going to like somebody or not. But after 45 minutes in a room with them, you're like, all right, this person's cool or they're not, right? So it's kind of just giving you the opportunity to build that relationship, which just really does take a little bit of time.
Yeah, that's a great answer. Okay, so now that we have that sort of, like, you know, if anybody was questioning whether or not podcasting was a, I don't know, let's say a valuable activity, all the listeners kind of already think it is, obviously, because they're here. But I want to just like really, really dive into something that has been shaping the way that I think about podcasting and the industry of podcasting, which I think that only a handful of people like in the world actually really properly understand at the moment. I don't say that to bash anybody, but I just say that because the majority of people don't spend their lives, you know, in the world of podcasting. But you put out what did you call it again?
It's an industry report. You're talking about the Actively Established Podcast Report. Yeah.
Exactly. Report. And in this report, my mind was blown like 6 or 7 times at the different stats.
That was the goal, by the way. It was like, can we blow Justin's mind with this? If no, don't post it. If yes, let's do it.
I did feel like it was made for me. So it's funny you say that. But I'm going to link it below. Like, it's already going to be in the show notes, but because everybody really genuinely needs to see this. And I'm not one to get blown away by reports very easily. But this pretty much shows a completely different perspective of what podcasting actually is, like what's going on behind the scenes, compared to what the mainstream like messages about the industry. I hear a lot of times that podcasting is very saturated, that there's not a lot of room for new creators. And I want you, again, I just want to give you the stage because I know that you're really good at explaining these things better than I can, you know, mess around with this. So just tell me, like, what was going on in that report and what were some of the key things that people just don't have right about the industry?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things when you look at it from the perspective of an independent podcaster. So I want to make that very clear. Like, this report, I call it the AE Podcast Report. It's for actively established independent podcasters. And specifically, all the data is run off of interview-based shows. So I know that's a mouthful, but basically, when I look at all the industry reports, they focus on the top maybe 2,000 shows or maybe 1,500 shows. And the reality is, that's like looking at the world's greatest athletes, let's just say, and then comparing a high schooler to them, being like, well, a high schooler hasn't thrown, you know, 400 touchdown passes. And it's like, well, no, because he's in high school, right? Like, he's not there yet. And so the industry reports that are more mainstream, not dogging, they have their place, but they're very discouraging to even someone like me who's an independent podcaster. When I look at those, I read them, I'm like, well, man, I don't have 500,000 downloads every minute, you know, like, and kind of crazy stuff like that.
You would say independent podcaster isn't necessarily, it's not like somebody that doesn't have a team helping them run the podcast or like a production team, but it's like somebody who, like, what classifies an independent podcaster?
Justin, thank you for clarifying that. It's somebody that has their, it's not their main thing, or it is maybe like their part of their business. They're just not like a celebrity in the space. And a lot of them do have a production company that's working with them. As a matter of fact, I typically suggest that if you want to keep at it long term, which is really important. Longevity in podcasting is what matters. I'll get into that in just a second here, because that's part of this report that I think is really key. But when I'm an independent podcaster, to me, is somebody that says, yeah, I want this podcast as a wing of my business. It might even become my full-time thing, but I don't already have a TV show and millions of followers, right? So got you're kind of so starting from the independent level.
The non-Joe Rogans.
Non-Joe Rogans. There you go. One of the first things I wanted to bring up, kind of going right off that, is like the chances of making it as a podcaster. And this data changes every month. We update the report every month. But right now, like I'm literally looking at it at this minute. People are always like, oh, podcasting is so saturated. But the reality is there are just under, at time of recording this, there's just under 3 million podcasts in total on Apple Podcasts. And that's, to me, kind of the golden standard, right? So Apple Podcasts, because they remove stuff all the time if it's not like a legit podcast. So I like that. So they're just under 3 million. But right now, there is just under 400,000 active. So there's only just over 13% of podcasts are actually active right now as we're recording this.
And just to put that into perspective, there are 50 plus million YouTube channels. There's like, you know, 2 billion websites, 600 million blogs, billions of social media accounts. So yeah, in terms of like mainstream media, we're in like one of the least, possibly the least saturated space.
It's kind of interesting. I actually didn't know all that stats. Like, even that means that even if all 3 million were active, it still would be smaller pool than the rest of those. It's kind of interesting to think about.
Fatima Zaidi of Quill Podcasting, we had her on our show episode 13, really long time ago. Now we're actually, she invited us to the dinner at the LA podcast movement. So that's how podcasting can connect you people and network and everything. Really, really amazing result of our podcast is that happened. But she said she got into those stats. Like, she knows them all. She can rattle them off. And that's when I really got perspective. But this even puts it into more. So sorry, I'll let you continue.
Yeah, she's got a great reputation in the industry. So that's going to be really exciting. I look forward to hearing how that goes.
Yeah, thanks.
Again, with only so few podcasts actually being active, I wanted to look at the actual data of like chances of making it, quote unquote, as a podcaster. And so, because a lot of people are like, oh, like mine's just another podcast. And the reality is, for a reason, Justin, that like this isn't, if someone's working with someone like you that has like a background with podcasting, does a production, all that stuff, they're going to be able to accelerate the results. But if you just start off just by yourself, for whatever reason, it seems to be about 100 episodes. So most people do a weekly show. So about 2 years is when meaningful traction really starts to take place. Just think about like the learning that has to go into it. Again, if you're working on your own, that's the typical result. It can be accelerated. That has to be an intentional effort. But let's just go from like that number being like 100 is when like it really starts to make sense and starts like seeing some real results, real traction. But the problem is 55% of people stop by 8 episodes. So they make it 8 episodes or 7, and then 55% are done.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And then less than 10% of people make it to 50 episodes. Mm-hmm. So the halfway mark, less than 10% of people make it that far. And it's about 5% right now of people make it to like the what we call like kind of the line of making as a podcaster, that 100 episodes. It happened for my show. And I was working with people, but I hit 100 episodes before it really started gaining some traction. It didn't really change anything. It's just like, I don't know what happened, but it just started taking off. So it's like very interesting to think that only 5% of people even stay in it long enough to make it to the point where you're going to see those results. So I found that to be like one of the most interesting stats. It's just like, man, like 95% of people are just not willing to actually put in the time or effort to see the result. That is not guaranteed, but like in podcasting, like you're talking about, it's like the least saturated form of content there is right now. Like, you can make it just by sticking with it.
Yeah. I think that one of the biggest things for people is that it's a hard industry to make work for the majority of people, because I've been saying this a lot lately. It's like, if it's not connected to a business in some way, a business that you're able to get clients with and generate some type of kickback from, that it's just going to be like a money sink. And if it's not, if you're not sinking money into it, then you're sinking a ton of time into it. And if you're sinking a ton of time into it, in my opinion, that's the same thing as sinking money into it, even worse. And, or the final option is that the show is really low quality because the person is doing it themselves, but they're not spending the time. So those are the options, and it becomes difficult. But when you're able to link it up with a business, you don't need a whole lot of listeners to make a bunch of money from your podcast, generate a whole bunch of interest in your business, prove your expertise, you know, send episodes to clients to help them with a problem, or send an episode to a prospective client to help further a sale. Like, there's podcasting has many uses, but I think that, yeah, the main reason why people don't make it there is because they're putting the money into editing or they're putting the time into the production and everything. And it's just not sustainable for a lot of people. So completely agree. There's some strategy that's definitely needed there to make it work.
Yeah. And the time thing is so important. There's the old saying that you can make more money, but you can't make more time. I am huge on protecting my time because this is what you do, right? Like you can do the editing, the production and stuff like that. I don't do that. Why would I jump out of my lane to do something that you do when I could be focusing on the people that I serve, right? And that's the time. I can't buy more of that. I can always be like, I need to make a little bit more money so I can pay for Justin a little bit more to do this, right? Like, and that's fine, but that's always the better mindset. But I find the creator economy, many of the people that fail, because I've done a lot of research, a lot of data, a lot of conversations, many people that fail, like pod fade, as we call it in the biz, right? The people that aren't making it are the ones that are like, I'm going to do all of it because I need to save money. And I get it. We're at a point in time where it can be tough for some people, but you have to be able to put a dollar value on your time, because if you can't, you can't tell me that you can justify not spending money when you haven't done the evaluation of your own value of your time. And so like each of us has, there's a value of what your time is actually worth. And it's like, man, you've got to take the disciplined effort to figure that out. And as creators, the creators that make it versus the ones that don't are the ones that understand what their time is worth from a creative standpoint and a financial standpoint. And that is my rant. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here, Justin, but I'll turn back over to you, man.
I want to add just one more thing to that, because on top of that, it's like what your time is worth now is exponentially lower than what your time could be worth if you were focusing on the high leverage 10x activities. But because you're hunched over a computer spending 8 hours editing when someone else could spend an hour and do it twice as good, you're stuck in your bubble. And that's where, oh yeah, it breaks my heart to see people editing their podcast. It's like, man, I run a podcast business and I haven't edited a podcast in 6 years. If I'm not doing it... Why would you? You know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Why? Like, that's just what I always tell people. But anyways, okay, so you're on now the number of podcasts that exist. We're talking about Pod Fade, the shows that don't succeed in everything. I want to switch to something that it says in there, which says there's never been a better time to start a podcast. So when I hear you say that about all the podcasts fading and everything, maybe for the average person, that could be a little bit discouraging if they didn't read on. So why would you then come around and say that now is the best ever time to start a podcast?
Yeah, this is another like one of those recipe type answers, not just one thing, but I'll give you the high level one. It's
sure, yeah.
That listenership is climbing and still climbing at a very rapid rate. And more than ever, like let's go back 3 years or like 5 years even. Like I guess I should give a date to that. Let's go back to 2019. Half the people I talked to had no clue what a podcast was. Just a couple of years after that, let's go to 2022. Everyone knew what it was and everyone had listened. Now we're at the point where people are like watching on TV, watching people pick podcasts on TV shows because it's like trendy and cool to do, right? Podcasting is getting very, very popular. And then the other side of that recipe, that's the obvious thing. The other side of the recipe is people aren't sticking with it. People are not listening to podcasts that have 4 episodes. People are looking at it and being like, oh, this isn't a podcast, right? Like
they won't even
granted,
click play
if it
on
was
it,
like,
yeah.
If it was a podcast specifically to like solve a problem, like, hey, this is a 4-part series on this, then maybe, right?
Right.
But if it's like, hey, this is my show, I'm going to be going into like my life, and it's just like, it just ends at some point, people are not going to be hanging out with that. But if they can see this is an active show, that's interesting. So to me, it's the best time to start a podcast if you're going to actually stick with it, because as the listenership climbs and the amount of people making it in podcasting doesn't climb, your show will kind of automatically become one of them that people decide to tune into.
Let me get your opinion on something that I've been touting a lot recently. I tend to just kind of come up with little things and then start saying them as if they're maybe true. And then I kind of ask the experts whether or not it actually makes sense. But this is what I'm seeing right now, right? So it's like you're asking somebody to make a serious commitment, not like following on social media, not like liking a reel that you post on Instagram, but you're asking somebody to make an emotional commitment. It's like, this is a decision that you're going to make that is now going to be part of your weekly routine for potentially years. And that is a commitment, and making commitments for the average Joe, for most people, is highly uncomfortable. And so you have to have some pieces in place so that you're able to overcome the uncomfortableness of them making that commitment, so that they do make that step. And for that, stuff like having a lot of episodes, having really nice artwork, great music to start the show, like a vibe and a personality of the show, all helps the person make that initial commitment. And then it's your job as the creator to honor that and you know, make them glad that they made that commitment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'll add to that real quick. People always ask me, like, one of the most common questions right now, I just call it the flavor of the week, because people are always hitting me up about this. But people are always like, Alex, I'm trying to like name my podcast. What should I name it? And I always just tell them, like, the name that you don't have to explain. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, okay, like, here's the example. Like, let's imagine I live in Jacksonville, Florida. So let's imagine I want to start a surfer podcast because I'm right by the ocean, right? If I call that podcast Alex 2.0, or if I call it Amateur Surfers of Jacksonville, Florida, which podcast is going to be more popular?
Yeah, 10 times over.
It's pretty obvious. And here's like, in this hypothetical, guess what? Alex 2.0 actually has better content, but nobody's ever going to click on it because they're looking for what they're looking for, which is surfing, Jacksonville, Florida, right? And so I always tell people, like, yes, have cover art that aligns with a title that goes really well with the topic you're talking about. Make it clean. Give it a little bit of a brand. Have a nice little intro music type of thing. Something people can say, ah, I know where I am, right? And reminds them that, like, I'm here with Alex this week. Every Tuesday, here I am, right? You want to do as much of that as you can. And that's actually not more work. It's less work, because now you don't have to go market as hard. You have a template that you can use every time you're doing an episode. I know some people that are like literally 500-600 episodes in, and they've got it down so well that, like, Justin, you and I, we both, I do the same thing as you. Like, I'll go do the intro after the conversation. They'll just do the intro right there and they freaking crush it because they've done it 500 or 600 times.
I envy them.
Right? You can get there. We all can. I believe I can too. But here's the thing. Like, they got it. And they're like, yeah, I send this to my editor. He does it in about 25 minutes because he knows the drill too, right? So it's not like they're spending a lot of time doing it. They've just built it out so well. And I think that that's what creates a show that people want to hear, is a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, completely agree. And one more thing, there was something that you said there. Oh yeah, like your podcast name and the artwork and all these things, it's like your storefront. And also the episode titles. Like, the episode titles are a big thing, especially for me. When I go to listen to a new podcast, like if I'm going to decide whether or not I want to even try out a new show, I'm usually scanning the titles of the episodes to find a headline that calls out a specific problem I'm trying to solve. So completely agree with that. So now that we've touched on the number of shows and, you know, why it's still a good time to start a podcast if you are going to stick with it, then what is going on with the guesting space, man? That's what I really want to know. You're the expert here, so fire, just go for it.
Well, on Podmatch, we noticed a problem about 2 years ago, and it's that our goal has always been to keep it about 50-50, 50% hosts, 50% guests, right, on the platform. And we started seeing the guest side really take off. And I was like, man, are we not attractive to hosts? What's going on here? So we started diving the data. Turns out we were doing a much better job at outreaching to guests at that point. So we kind of tweaked that. So we still keep about that 50-50 ratio now. We just had to tweak it a little bit. But we don't do any marketing to guests at all anymore. Nothing. If someone asked me to speak at their event where there's podcast guests, I was like, no thanks. They'll find me regardless, I promise. We always say internally, we say all roads lead to Podmatch, and that's the reality of it. Podcast guesting is what people think is, it's like having a podcast, but with no commitment, basically, right? And that's not really the case. I can share a lot of data on that. I've done a lot of research on it. But the reality of it is, if I can just throw this out there to the world, Justin, I think that the thing that could potentially cripple and destroy podcasting is podcast guesting specifically. On that report, which we're getting more and more accurate on these numbers, I actually shared some numbers there about the podcast guesting health. And we're still very early in this, but at any given time, there's just over 100,000 podcasts actively seeking guests. And at that same exact moment, there's about 3 million people looking to be a guest. So it comes out to be, I think now it's like 27 people are looking at every single, any given point, looking to be on your podcast, 27 people on average.
27.
Imagine when that's 500 or 1,000 in just years from now, right? A podcast host is going to have to shut down all their social media and everything because people are going to be like, saw you launch a podcast, I'd like to be a guest, right? And so, like, I think that there's anything that will cripple this industry, it's going to be that. I'm very much so actively fighting that, trying to figure out solutions for it. But yeah, podcast guesting is a beautiful thing. It's great if you get the opportunity to be a guest. Just don't follow what the industry says, which is email every podcaster, message every podcaster you can possibly find, and then hope and pray that someone responds, right? It's got to be a real connection-based interaction with a host that you know you can add value with. So I don't know if I jumped ahead there, Justin, but, like, I'm kind of passionate about this one because I'm, like, a little concerned, I'll be real.
No, that was exactly what I wanted to get onto this show. I wanted that, what you just said, to be here because I feel it too, man. And I'm not in podcast guessing. I'm on the other side. And I'll just say, I also do a lot of outreach. And, you know, we're talking to a lot of people, like thousands of people. And the majority of the responses are, starting a podcast is too hard, too much work, too saturated. I prefer to be a guest. Can you line me up on some shows? It's like, okay. And I literally have a list of like 2,000 people who want to be guests on podcasts. And there's nothing I can do for them. I feel it. I feel it 100%. You mentioned that you see some solutions, and I don't want you don't have to go too deep into it, but two-part question. Number one, from a business perspective, if I look at that and I hear that and I see your shirt, your company, like everything that you do, man. And like you mentioned that it worried you, but is it like, are you worried about the future of Podmatch, or do you have a solution that you are confident in that you're going to pursue? Cause I would love, like, I'd love to get in on that or to know about that so that I can, you know, have that in my mind when everybody's asking me too.
Yeah. Thanks for the platform to share this, man. I never got to talk about this before. So I'm hashing it out as we're talking here, but awesome. I don't worry for the future of Podmatch necessarily. Cause I believe we've already really done a good job solving a lot of the pain point. So a lot of people like still think that Podmatch's big solution is connecting guest and host for interviews. And I guess it's my bad because that's what I say it does. But
yeah,
the reality of it is we're more like Amazon for distribution. Amazon didn't do anything new. Like Amazon didn't create anything from an actual like product standpoint. You could go buy furniture from a furniture store, but it's the fact that it shows up in 48 hours at your front door at a reasonable price. What we've done with Podmatch is we take away all the administrative work. And so we actually just finished a big report on this, like internally, to see what we're actually saving. It's an average of 14 emails / messages back and forth and 3 hours of administrative work that if you're not using Podmatch.
I get it.
Yeah. And so someone literally, like one of our advisors was like, wow, you guys are literally like that. You guys are Amazon for podcasters, for guests and hosts, because think about all the administration. If every guest is taking you 14 emails and messages back and forth and 3 hours more than it takes on Podmatch, that's a terrible situation to be in. If you're getting 150 people messaging you every single day, which will become the reality of podcasting. And so actually, I think it better positions Podmatch to be the real solution. And here's the other thing it does. We have people every day email us. I'm not trying to be mean, but they want to be a guest on a podcast, but they do not want to pay for Podmatch because Podmatch is all paid. They say, it's ridiculous. I'd have to pay for this. I'm going to go do it for free myself. That to me tells me they're not willing to invest in their own message. They're willing to spend more on Netflix and Hulu than they are sharing their message. They're just looking for a quick free fix, right?
They're not
your
people.
And so what we do is we gate our guests to people that are not serious. So if they're on Podmatch, they're paying to be there, which to me means they're serious enough that they say that my message is worth money to share. I'm willing to put some skin in the game. And the last thing I'll share here, and this is like a big affiliate opportunity, I think. We purposely built out Podmatch in a way that especially a host can design their own automatic response to everyone who reaches out everywhere saying, sorry, I'm only booking guests through Podmatch. You can message me there. We can see if it's a good fit. And we've tested this with some accounts. There are some people that I see no reason in the next 3 or 4 years that you can't make $5,000 or $6,000 a month just through this one tactic with no work. It simplifies your workflow because you're not responding to anyone. It's an automatic message saying, sorry, message me on Podmatch. I won't even look at you to see if you're good until you're there. And then if they want to, they can go in there and sign up and message. And they're building a really good affiliate commission along the way. And we also pay podcast hosts who use Podmatch anyway. So the goal to make this a solution is to eventually help a podcast creator make a full-time income only by podcasting. No product, no service, just consistently releasing episodes. That's maybe a pipe dream. Some people have told me I'm absolutely like a mad scientist for saying that. But I'm just seeing the trend and think it might be possible.
Man, keep on dreaming. It's the people who have the big goals that do the big things, obviously. And
yeah, thanks, man.
If it seems impossible, then it's probably exactly the thing to be striving for. But I had like 8 revelations that I would need like 8 podcast episodes to go into. Dang, that's like the best part and the worst part. And I also realized that I did a little blunder for anybody listening as a podcast host. I should have really gotten an overview of Podmatch, but I'm going to save us all the time. I'm going to do it in the intro so that people start this episode knowing exactly what Podmatch is about. That's my solution.
Love it.
Okay. So I need to ask one question on something that hit me really hard in what you were just saying there. So you mentioned that if you have, let's say there's one thing I really want to emphasize there. If you have a lot of people reaching out to you to be on your podcast and you're sending them all to Podmatch automatically, that means that anybody who even takes that step to go to Podmatch and to sign up and to create their account, you're filtering all of the people who are just looking to get on your show to make the rounds and to promote their crap, essentially. So number one, I do see that as a solution. I see Podmatch potentially being the safest space to be on as a host to only get quality guests. Now, one of the questions I had there was like, okay, how would people make $5,000 to $6,000 a month? Like, what is the, is it affiliate stuff? Is it like, what's going on there?
Yeah. So if you're having, again, I'm speaking hypothetically that there's a lot of people in inbound. Like if it's 100 people a day reaching out, which at some point I think that'll become the reality of podcasters, is just everywhere. People are reaching out and a small percentage of them join. You automatically earn 20% lifetime reoccurring commission on anyone you bring to the platform. So if anyone joins, they have to pay if they want to be part of it as a guest, right? And then you're going to earn 20% of that forever. And then in addition, what we do internally is we just take our, we take our profit and we split it in half, and half of it gets divided up among our podcast hosts that are using our platform based off how much usage they're doing. So if you showed up once in the last 6 months, you kind of get paid for once, right? Like, but if you're showing up and interviewing people every day or every week, whatever it is, you're earning from that. And that number will continue to climb as the platform grows. So this year in 2024, the goal is to put $250,000 back in the hands of podcasters just from that profit share. We call it our Pod Value Initiative. And next year, we want to double that to $500,000 to $500,000 we put back in the hands of creators. Just, we want them to continue to create. And also, I tell them, like, don't go spend the money and buy like some toys or anything like that. Like, pay Justin to do your production so you can get better at podcasting, right? Because that's how you can grow it. And that's literally what I tell people. I'm like, use this to offset your cost. And then later on, you can worry about the rest.
Okay. So tell me, if you can, roughly how many hosts do you have on the platform?
Oh man, I
like, like super roughly, like you, like I'm talking like in the tens of thousands.
Well, we run about a 50% ratio, and I just went to the Podmatch homepage where it says we have just over 10,000 active members right now. So I would say we have about 5,000 active podcast hosts that are using in the last 30 days. I only track last 30 days. So,
okay. Now, I also just want to add that I think this is one of the, coming from the inside of the industry, spending my entire days in here, really, really knowing it inside and out, this is the single best idea I think I've ever heard. Not like that, that might be very bold, but this is one of the best ideas I have ever heard in business, ever. Nobody even understands how smart this is because they don't know the, they don't know what's going on the way that, that I do. Pardon me for like, for the, whatever, for saying that. But okay, so, the other thing that I was just thinking is like, so what level of a host, I know that people are going to ask this, what level of a host do you have to be? I'm talking like listener numbers or however it's measured. What level of a host do you need to be to see results on Podmatch, meaning good guests and income of some kind, like 1,000 downloads per episode, 10,000, like what's the stats there?
Yeah. First off, I appreciate your kind words. I can't just brush past that. Thank you. It means a ton. I can't say I necessarily agree yet, but we're working there. So you give me a lot of confidence. Thank you.
Well, it's hard to see from the inside out, but it's easy to see from the outside in, especially just hearing this for the first time. Zero tunnel vision, zero references. Like, this is great, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Totally makes my day, man. I appreciate you. So here's the thing, like a lot of people want to tie it to that metric. I know that you know better, but you're placing this for listeners, right? Like it's not about the downloads. It's not even about how many episodes. The truth is, I find that it's about two things, your focus, your niche, right? As the host, in addition, your ability to outreach. Typically I tell people no to like, I won't be on a new podcast. Like I just say that. But recently I went on a show with zero episodes because the niche was like, sweet. You know, I'm like, man, they are so focused on like this one little thing. And then on top of that, they reached out in such a great way that I'm like, oh, dang, this is going to add a ton of value. Like they know what I'm going to be able to show up and do. I would say yes to a podcast like that all the time. Maybe not with zero episodes. Let's say if they have one, two, or even three. Sure. If it's that right fit, great. But if somebody with 1,000 episodes says, hey, I got a general lifestyle podcast, Alex, I'd love for you to just riff and talk about your crap in your life. You want to be on the podcast? I'd say no. They're like, we have millions of downloads. Still, the answer is no. I don't want to just talk general. I want to focus on where I can actually add value and serve. And so for me, we're not finding that there's any real distinction between the size of the show or the number of episodes that people decide to go on it. It's the focus. And it's how the host's ability to articulate that and actually reach out to the guest saying, hey, I think you're a good fit because X, Y, Z, and you can share ABC, right? And that's what's really done well.
Speechless. I don't know. We're gonna chat after. Beauty of podcasting, people. Like, there's so many great connections that are made. Okay, I mean, we're getting down to it, like 35 minutes. This is one of those where I would just like, I would keep on going and going. But let's just rattle off a couple of like really actionable pieces of advice for podcasters. And first thing that I really like to ask anybody who I know is really freaking good at podcasting or content creation, I want to know, number one, what is the single highest leverage activity that an independent podcaster can take part in or can conduct to really move the needle for their podcast? That's the first thing I want to know.
Yeah, have good content. And let me explain what I mean by that. Like, really, I used this example previously, and maybe some people have heard it. It was like one of the bigger talks I've done. But I talked about Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones does not have an outro in it saying, hey, by the way, if you enjoyed this episode of Game of Thrones, can you please tell a few of your friends about it? That would be ridiculous. And you want to know why? Because the show is so good that they don't have to tell you to share it. It is human nature to share things that are good. We like to share things that are good, right? And that's the reality of it. If you make your podcast so good, someone's going to go tell somebody. I learned this when one of my episodes of my show, this was years ago, but I did the episode. I felt really good about it. Like, it was really good content. This guy that I knew that was like a really big coach got a hold of it. And he texts me like 3 weeks after it came out or something like that. He goes, hey man, I want to let you know I've listened to this episode 6 times this week alone. He goes, I told all of my clients they have to listen to it and have notes by next time we meet, or I'm going to fire them as clients. And he goes, I told them to tell their families listen to it as well so they can get in their head. And so that post, like, for lack of a better term, there's no like real, it's not like social media, there's no algorithms. There's no like opportunity to go viral. But that episode went everywhere because it was so good that this person said, this has to be shared with everybody I know and they have to listen to it or they're not my friend anymore, right? Like, that's extreme, I'll admit. But the reality is, if you're doing such a good job, it's not going to get ignored. You've got to get out there and just continuously level up on the content itself. I always say this, like, do the best you can with production. Hire someone if you feel like you're not good at it. That's what I had to do because I was terrible at it, right? Like, but the reality is, if you are able to produce really good content, what you're saying, and it's valuable, people will grab onto that. They'll hold onto that and they'll follow that.
Yeah. Okay, two things. First of all, you got to drop the episode with me so that I can put it in the show notes. After that, man, you got to give that to me. I'll put that in the show notes for everybody. The second thing is yeah, I also tell people a lot of times, like, people come to us and they're like, oh, microphone, camera, lights, backdrop. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, 90% content, 10% production and bells and whistles and cameras and lights. Like, that is the ratio. It may even be more of a discrepancy than that. But like, you could have the best setup in the world with terrible content. There's literally nothing that's going to happen. You can dump tons of advertising dollars into terrible content. Absolutely nothing is going to happen. And I think for a lot of people, what they should be feeling from that is like, that is freeing as heck, because your focus is singular. Make content that's so good that people can't resist sharing it and referring it to their friends and family. When I learn something new that changes my life, I literally have a round of texts that I send to my mom, my best friend, my dad, my grandparents. Like, I literally, every time that something influences me, I have the rounds. First, I tell my fiance, of course. And
yeah, like, Celine's not on the list. Is she not making the cut?
She's usually there when it happens because we're
okay, cool.
Always together. She's literally in the other room. We literally are always together. So no worries there. She's not going to get mad about that. But okay, so that is the single highest leverage activity. Of course, that should be where the majority of the focus is. The other stuff are additions onto that, but the content is paramount always, no matter what you're doing. Game of Thrones, perfect example. Imagine like a call to action, like, please leave a 5-star review wherever you're watching Game of Thrones. Like, yeah, no, of course not. So the next thing would be, your podcast has like 300 episodes?
Time of recording is closer to 300, but I'm not sure the number.
Yeah, I've listened to like 300. I really have, man. Crazy, crazy format. Just for anybody listening, Alex has other people do episodes on his podcast without him there. So it's very, very concise, actionable, targeted things from people who have experience in the thing that they're talking about. Very, very, very cool format. Very curious as to how you make that work. And I've been wondering that for years, literally, man, years. But I'm like, just there's a lot of flattery this episode.
Yeah, man.
But it's all legit.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, no, man, this is legit. Like, I don't do this ever often. So how is your podcast, 300 episodes? You said around 100 is when it started seeing serious traction. What has this done for Podmatch? But also, Podmatch is not your only thing that you do. So what kind of results have you seen from your podcast? Essentially, tell somebody why they should do podcasting for the business.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's my business card. It's probably the simplest way to put it. When someone's like, well, so do you know about podcasting? Like, here's my show, right? Like, here's my show. Or sometimes here's the episode I've been on as well, right? But like, my show is a great way to do that. And so for me, again, it helps me develop know, like, and trust. I'm not on all the episodes, but it really does bring people back the ecosystem that we've created, which, by the way, is all turning into Podmatch. So some insider information for you there, Justin. Like, we have like a few different brands, but we're slowly bringing everything into Podmatch. And hopefully within the next year, you only have one login, one bill, Podmatch, and it'll have everything included that we've ever done and created. So But the idea was just like, hey, can the podcast be our lead funnel and bring people to it? It happens all the time. People show up and they're like, oh, I've been listening to your podcast. I decided I wanted to do something else with you guys, right? And we just make it very approachable. Like we always like, make it very clear, like you can reach out to us and we're going to respond. And so, yeah, podcasting is my show is my business card and it's worked very well. We only grow organically. We don't do any paid advertising of any type. And the main way we've been able to do that is through our podcast.
Yeah, we got to end it here because we've already pumped a ton of stuff to the listeners. And I'm sure I would love to check back in with you in like few months and see kind of shifts you're seeing, because there's just so many things that I wanted to say and ask, but I really wanted to keep things focused. So where's the place that you want to send people for this episode? If they want to connect with you, if they want to get involved in all these things we're talking about, where do you want them to go?
Yeah. So, I mean, any way you reach out to me, you're going to reach me. I don't have any virtual assistants. I don't have any executive assistants. Like from a communication standpoint, I like to communicate, but if you go to podmatch.com/free, I'll give you some quick wins as a podcast guest host or aspiring guest or host as well. So if you're looking to learn or just level up a little bit, podmatch.com/free will have that.
Yeah. And on top of that, below, I'll have my affiliate link for Podmatch as well. You can use that if you want. And I would get on there. Truly. I just activated my account like right before this as I was checking everything out. And yeah, this is cool, man. I think that you're doing some great stuff. I feel safer in the podcast industry knowing that you are making these moves for yourself and for everybody. I really feel like that's support, and I'm sure that other podcasters feel that as well. It's nice to have like a northern star, you know, kind of to guide and to make sure that, you know, the whole thing isn't going to collapse or whatever. So yeah. Anyways, man, really appreciate you coming on. If you have any last words, now is the time.
Yeah, man, for sure. Again, thank you so much for having me. I was listening to one of your episodes of Oh My Pod, and it aired on December 4th, 2023.
Okay.
And it was with Thom was his name?
Yeah, Thom, spelt Thom. Yeah. Thom,
yeah, I couldn't remember. I was like trying to remember off the top of my head. I couldn't remember that, but something he said really stood out to me.
Yeah.
He said, a good podcast positions their listener as the hero. So someone like the hero's journey, right? And the guest and the host together become those guides that are helping the listener become that hero they want.